This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين My beloved brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله رب العالمين Always and forever we begin with the praise and the thanks of Allah نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله We testify that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah سبحانه وتعالى And we send our love and our greetings, salutations to our beloved Nabi Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم To his pious and his pure family, to his companions and all those who follow his sunnah until the end of time May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us to be amongst them. Ameen. Walhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. We start a new series, inshallah. A series which we have done before. And it's something which is good to remind ourselves. And this is around the miracles of the Qur'an. Or the greatest miracle that Allah has sent down is the miracle of the Qur'an. And one of the reasons why we've chosen this topic, if you're following the news, you would have seen that in Sweden there's a bit of an uproar. Because a Iraqi immigrant who was of a Christian background, not a Muslim or ex-Muslim, wanted to make a display of what he thought of the Quran. And on the day of Eid, outside of the masjid, he took the Quran and he desecrated the Quran. He tore it up and rubbed his shoes with it and then burnt it. And obviously in the countries that he comes from, the Western land, we know the double standards, that if you insult the Quran or you burn a Quran, then it's freedom of speech. But if you burn a flag that has a rainbow, then you are homophobic. If you burn a flag with a star on it, an Israeli flag, you're anti-Semitic. But this is the reality we live in. Now, our conversation is not around what do we do about that issue. We make dua, may Allah guide them to Islam. May Allah guide them. And we give shukr to Allah that Allah has guided us to Islam. At the end of the day, no one is going to be asked, you're not going to be asked about that person's belief or disbelief, it's only your belief, my belief, that is going to matter on the day of Qiyamah. But the real question is, as much as we love the Qur'an and we're attached with the Qur'an, if we were asked, is this book truly from the Lord of the universe, the creator of all things, is this book really from the all-knowing, the all-wise? Can we prove it? Do you feel comfortable if your co-workers asked you in a very open conversation, show me evidence that this is a book from your creator? And this is inshallah the series will take us a few weeks to get through, and we may ask Allah to grant us guidance and tawfiq. So when we talk about miracles, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that He has always sent signs. Allah doesn't use the word, in Arabic the word for miracle is mu'jiza. Allah never uses the word mu'jiza when He speaks about miracles. So when Allah says that we gave to Nabi Musa 9 signs, ayat, Allah used the word ayah. He doesn't use the word mu'jiza. Because a miracle is almost to entertain or fascinate you. Allah says, this is not entertainment. I'm giving you evidence, O mankind, so that you may believe. I'm giving you a sign to guide you. And so Allah says, I gave to Nabi Musa 9 ayat, 9 signs. And in the Quran, Allah says that when Allah ever speaks about a verse of the Quran, He calls it an ayah. Meaning that this book is a sign and it's a miracle and it is the greatest miracle. And so how do we prove that? How do we prove that the Quran is a miracle and how do we feel comfortable? So first question is, what is a miracle and how does... So our series, the objective is the Quran a miracle? Not only is it a miracle, is it the greatest miracle that Allah has revealed? Is it greater than Nabi Musa opening the Red Sea by Allah's command? Is it greater than Nabi Isa resurrecting the dead by Allah's command? Because we affirm that this is the greatest miracle of all the ayat Allah has sent. So what is a miracle? And I want you to keep this definition in mind. You're going to be the judge. I'm trying to make the case and you need to make the judge. You'd be the judge. A miracle is any event or occurrence that does not conform with the natural law. It is something extraordinary, something that cannot be explained scientifically, something that cannot be replicated. So if someone says, this is a miracle, it means that it goes beyond normal explanation. It is supernatural. So we are asking, oh Allah, You claim that the Quran is a miracle. Is the Quran really supernatural? Can the Quran be replicated? Can the Quran be... you have, subhanAllah, we've got artificial intelligence. We've got millions and millions of authors and poets. Can they come together and produce something similar to the Quran? So let's see. The Quran needs to make the case for itself. So does the Quran meet the challenge? And we'll look at the Quran at multiple levels. Today, inshallah, we're going to start off with the Quran from a literary background, as a book of literature. If we were all studying literature, not from a religious perspective, we take Shakespeare, we take the Quran, we take Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, we put all these books together, and we say, how do they compare? You take my grade 5 essay that I wrote about my grandmother, we put all of it together, how does this compare as a book of literature? It's purely as a book of literature, not a book of religion, a book of theology, a book of morality, purely as a book of literature. Does the Quran stand out as being something special? So, of course, we have millions of books in the Arabic language, and millions of books beyond the Arabic language. Where does the Quran stack up amongst them purely as a book of literature? The first thing to note, and this automatically makes it special, is that the Quran is the very, very first book in the Arabic language. It is the oldest book in the Arabic language. No author, no poet before the Quran wrote a book. The Arabs were not a people that wrote many things. Yes, we have writings. We have poems written. We have contracts. But a book, if you ask, what is the first ever book in the Arabic language? The Quran is number one. Which means, what? The author, whoever the author is, we leave that unknown for now, could not copy from anybody else. The author of the Quran did not have something before it to replicate or to inspire or to steal from. The Quran is completely unique on its own. It's the first. It is also, if of course, unfortunately, we are not experts in Arabic, and most of us have never understand the Arabic language. But if you look at the Quran now from a literary perspective, the ulama of Arabic, and there are many non-Muslim Arabs, there are many non-Muslims who speak Arabic as a first language in Egypt, in Iraq, many, like this man, is a non-Muslim Arab. And they will affirm, even with their dislike for Islam, even with their hatred for Islam, they will say without a doubt, the Quran is very eloquent. The Quran is of the highest form of the Arabic language. It is a style which is unparalleled. There was no author, no poet, who wrote something that can compare with the Quran from a poetic perspective. And that is why when in Surah Al-Muddathir, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verses of the Quran, the main poet of Arabia, the main poet of Mecca, Khalid ibn Walid's father, Al-Mughira, Khalid ibn Walid, the great Khalid ibn Walid, his dad, Al-Walid, he was the main poet of Mecca. When the Quran was presented to him and they asked him, the Quraysh asked him, you the poet, you the Shakespeare, you tell us what this is. And he was dumbfounded. If you read Surah Muddathir, you'd see that he was thinking and he was pacing and he was confused. What is this? Because this is of the highest level of eloquence. It is poetry which cannot be matched. Till today, if you want to study Arabic as a language, you will have to study the Quran. Go to UNISA, go to whatever university you want to go to. You will study the Quran as part of your curriculum. Now, not to compare, but you're not going to study the Bible as part of your curriculum in the English language. Because from a literature perspective, it's not one of the books that stands out. It's not Shakespeare. Whereas the Quran is, it is the highest form of poetry in the Arabic language, according to the Arabs. And until now, 2023, if you want to study Arabic, you must study the Quran as part of your curriculum. Because of its style, because of its method. Yet, when you open the Quran, even though university professors are studying it, 2-3-year-olds, 5-year-olds can read the Quran and they can understand very, very easily. Kul huwallahu ahad, Allahu samad, lam yalid, walam yulad, walam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. Very simple. The Quran is able to be understood and read by the youngest of children. And 10 years later, another the middle of but this was deliberate word usage that is changed. Why? Because every word in the Quran is chosen from Rabbul Alameen. You can study this. As we said, we can read this as children and not understand it. When you analyze this at the PhD level, you find these gems that, subhanAllah, I didn't even see. Another classic example, which is historically correct. The king of Egypt is Pharaoh. We all know this. Fir'aun is the king of Egypt. And throughout the story of Nabi Musa, it is Nabi Musa and Fir'aun. Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam, Nabi Yusuf was before Nabi Musa. And he was in Egypt. And he was dealing with the king of Egypt. Allah never uses the term Pharaoh in the story. If you look at, go read Surah Yusuf, there's a king in Egypt. It's Egypt, it's a king. But Allah never uses the word Fir'aun, Pharaoh. It's always the Malik, the king. Why? We know now historically that the term Fir'aun, Pharaoh, was a title that only came much later in the Egyptian history. It was only a later title that was chosen. So the kings had many titles. Originally, they always called the ruler of Egypt king, Malik, like anyone else. But later on, he became Fir'aun. And so that is why
the time of Nabi Yusuf, he was always called king, and the time of Nabi Musa, he's called Fir'aun, and that is why you don't find the mixture of these words in the two stories. Subhanallah. Again, chance, luck, coincidence. So we said the Quran, if you summarize a lot of these points, the Quran is unique. No poet from the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam until now has been able to replicate it. There's no, and there are many non-Muslim poets who have tried. There are many false prophets that have tried to produce likeness of the Quran. They've done it, they've done the attempts. No one knows where it is. Gone. Obscure. It cannot be classified into one type of poetry. No other book resembles it. The theme, and subhanAllah, what is also amazing of the Quran, you can see the theme of the Quran changes when the Hijrah occurred. So, you should all know the Quran has surahs that were revealed before the Hijrah and surahs that were revealed after the Hijrah. The surahs before the Hijrah is dealing with a community who are non-Muslim mostly. So Allah is talking to them about belief in Allah. Allah is talking to them about Qiyamah. Allah is not going to talk to them about how to use the toilet and how to get married. They have bigger issues to worry about. They don't believe in Allah. So the surahs that were Makki, Makkan, if you read this, so if you go to the beginning of the index, you see, this surah is a Makki surah. When you read the English, you'll realize there's very little laws in there. There's no fiqh in there. But the minute the Hijrah happened, and we now have a Muslim community, automatically the surahs are very legal. The long surahs at the beginning of the Quran are all Madani. So, but back to front. The beginning of the Mus'haf, the first surahs in the Quran, are actually the later surahs in terms of revelation. And they are Madani. So there you'll find a lot of laws about inheritance, about debt, about talaq, about marriage. So subhanAllah, the same author who is talking about one subject matter, the minute the situation changes, now the content changes completely. And you don't even see the difference. It is seamless. Imagine the book, and I don't know if there are lawyers in the, if you read a book of law, I think after 5 minutes, the only thing more boring is perhaps a book of accounting, you'll fall asleep. The surahs in the Madani phase are legal, yet it's written in poetic form. It's a legal chapter, but it's in poetic form that till today you studied as poetry. All of this was completely oral. And I want you to think about that. If you were asked to write an essay, but you can't write it down, you need to present it, and we will write down the words. You couldn't write something, you know, in your pocket, memorize it, and then present it. It's not like a presentation you're giving. You are asked a question, and many times in the Quran, you've heard this, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ, what does it mean? And they ask you, O Muhammad, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْمَحِيدِ, they ask you about Hayd, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْأَهِلَّةِ, they ask you about the moon. Immediately Allah said, tell them. Now the ayat came down. No chance, this is spontaneous, on the spot, at that moment. Oral transmission. How would you present an essay about whatever subject matter in an oral presentation without ever having a chance to write a draft? Yet, in the first go, the first attempt, there are no mistakes. No errors. Completely error-free. No one has picked up the Quran and said, here's a grammatical mistake. Here's a mistake in, you use that inconsistency. Completely error-free. Flawless, no second attempt. That's why you'd find in all other books, they will tell you it's the second edition, the third edition. Quran doesn't have 2-3 editions. There's been no revision. No group of scholars have come and said, you know, there was a mistake here, we need to take this out. There's been no revision, no additions, no subtractions from the Quran. So I ask, every time you put this in your mind, what other book has done this? What other book in human history has achieved this kind of prominence? What other book was able to be given in an oral transmission of the highest poetry, in the highest manner, with a perfect word usage? And never ever been revised. What makes the Quran, perhaps, if you were to purely look at it from a linguistic perspective, the most influential book in a language, is that in no other language, I want you to wake up a little bit for this one, it's a bit deep. Every language evolves, it changes. Some languages even disappear. Latin, for example, was the language of the world, it disappeared, no one uses it, it becomes obsolete. And you've all studied Shakespeare. when your kids hear Shakespeare say, what language is this guy talking? He said, this is English. Said, this is English? It's not the same English I know. Why did it change? Because languages evolve. The only language on earth that has not evolved is Arabic. It is static. It is crystallized. No other language on earth has remained static like Arabic. Why? Because of the Quran. Because as the language evolves and changes, the books become less and less understandable. Like Shakespeare now, we can't understand it. And I give you an example of the Bible. So this is an English Bible, 1,000 years ago. You can't understand a single word on it, but it's English. It's not a different language. You can't understand it at all. So you go, as time goes on, it becomes more understandable. The words become, the English becomes more understandable. Right? So now, if you start reading it, now you can understand what this refers to. So why is Arabic the only language that is unchanging, unmoving? It is still the Arabic that you have today is the same Arabic 1,400 years ago. The Arab can pick up the Quran and he reads it and he understands it. Shakespeare was only 400, 500 years ago and you hardly can understand what is being said. The Quran is 1,500 years old, yet it's still understandable because the Quran came down and it almost, and what we could say, it subdued the Arabic language. Arabic, you will not change. You will not move away from the Quran. It will always remain attached to the Quran. And so, again, we ask, has there ever been an author that wrote a book that was so powerful that the entire language remained unchanged? Is there any language on earth, Mandarin, Spanish, French, where the greatest author in that language, because every language has its great authors, wrote a book so powerful that the language couldn't change? Shakespeare couldn't do it. No other author did it, but this Quran did it. So the influence the Quran has on Arabic, whether you're a Muslim or non-Muslim, you have to accept, whether you like it or not, whether you want to burn the Quran or not, this guy from Iraq is an Arab, whether he likes it or not, he needs to concede that without a doubt, this is the most important book in the Arabic language, is the Quran. Whoever wrote it, it is the most important book in the Arabic language. And then you look at the influence Arabic had on the world. So many words, like in English, is based on Arabic language. So the Quran has influenced all the languages of the world. Now we put all this together. Our question is this a miracle? Is this amazing? So number one, we summarize. The first book in the language, never to be copied. It is the highest form of poetry that you still study in the university. It caused the entire Arabic language to remain unchanged, to remain static. Its message, whether it's law, whether it's theology, it's in poetic. High level of poetry that everybody could understand. It was completely oral, without any error, without any addition. And they say a man who could not read or write compiled this book. A man who never wrote anything in his life, who never read a single book in his life, produced the greatest book in the Arabic language. Now that is a miracle. If it did not come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then show me this great poet, this great author that wrote the Quran, and they can't. So, this is part one of the series. Inshallah, next week we'll continue with the scientific miracles, and perhaps it's more something which we can relate to. Discoveries that we find in the Quran that surely was impossible to have known 1,500 years ago. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the love of the Quran, and grant us to follow it. May Allah grant us to always be, to make it the light of our hearts and our guidance. Ameen. Few announcements, quick one. Our AGM, the annual general meeting of the Masjid, is Wednesday, the 12th of July. It will be at Buranul House. But also for those who can't attend physically, you can attend via Zoom. And please, inshallah, if you're part of this, and you are part of the Masjid, those who attend, those who listen online, you are part of our Jama'ah for the well-being of the Masjid, whatever's positive, inshallah, let us know. We can continue. Whatever needs to be fixed, we can fix it. But show your interest, show your concern. You're part of this Masjid. Attend the AGM if you can. And if you can't physically attend, please join us online. Jazakallah khair. Wa sallallahu sayyidina Muhammad wa ala sahbihi sallam mursaleen. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.